You are listening to station WGN.
Oh, a microphone!
And a phony at the mic! Whoa!
And radio became an accepted vehicle for nationwide news and opinion.
Notify all radio and TV stations to broadcast the following message.
Oh, is that the comedy spot?
No, Bubblehead, this is a comedy spot.
You're a fun guy, Dave. You're lonely on an island.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
And now, live from the Skyline Studios, here's Dave Plyer.
All right, another 3 hours to go on the Dave Plyer Show. Very happy you could join us on this late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text, you can do whatever you like throughout the show. Hello again, Roger.
Well, hello again.
What's going on? Curtis, welcome in, my friend.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, we've been, I've been here since a little bit before 10 o'clock tonight. It was fun to host with Lisa, and we're going to keep the conversation going on some of the frightfulness and the horror of Halloween here a little bit, but... you know, being that Halloween is just a week and a half away, we watched a bunch of classic horror films this past week, and I was thinking about the fact that my first exposure to these movies were not in the theater, they were on television. You know, watching them, you know, I wasn't born when Shock Theater went on the air, which was a show that was in the late 1950s. And by the way, if you have any memories of Chicago's horror movie shows that were on the airways in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond, you can give us a call or text 312-981-7200. The first one was Shock Theater, that I think that was the big one in Chicago. It was on ABC 7, right?
Well, it was on 7, but they were known at that time as WBKB.
Right.
That was before they changed to WLS for the call letters.
Yes.
And yeah, Shock Theater, it was on the periphery of my youth. My parents restricted my TV viewing when I was young, didn't help anything. I still turned into a TV freak. But I remember this being on and I caught little bits of it and I wasn't sure what to make of it. And in fact, I don't think much of Chicago knew what to make of it.
It was very odd. It began with a dark night sky broken by long fingers of lightning that ripped down from the sky. Deep-throated thunder followed another flash of lightning. Marvin, sometimes called Marvin the Nearsighted Madman, hosted Shock Theater. It was late Saturday nights. His character was like a beatnik. It wore thick glasses, black turtleneck sweater. It was an instant hit. His companion was his wife, who he only referred to as dear, and they never saw her face as the camera was always behind her, or the face had a mask on it, because I've seen some clips from this. He would constantly, Marvin would perform experiments or amputations on his wife, which was lovely, and but she would always be back to normal by the end of the commercial break, so it didn't last very long. But the wife was played by his real-life wife, Joy Bennett was her name. Bennett played mostly for laughs, poking fun at the movies. He occasionally frightened his audience as well. It became so popular that station management soon expanded the series with a new half-hour segment in a movie called The Shock Tale Party. And had a bunch of other characters as well. It had a fan club. And while he became a genuine Saturday night celebrity playing Marvin, people, you know, would see him on the street and whatever and just think that's what he was.
Right.
Was a character. They couldn't divide it by
They couldn't reality. Figure out what his real persona was. See, they thought he was who he was on the TV. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's take a little listen to a clip. These clips are really rare from the show, but this is from Shock Theater from WBKB in Chicago from 1957.
Take a look.
Take a look at these headlines, huh? Ooh. Take a look. Take a look at that. What do you think of that, huh?
Just a little closer there. You see it right there?
You've been a flat tire at every party we went to.
Oh.
That's right, you old windbag. Let's see if this really works now. Just pull this up to your mouth.
Uh-huh.
Here's how the whole thing works. Remember people saying you were full of hot air?
Uh-huh.
What's this? I'm going to do something that really I've been trying to do for a long time. See, I take the pencil, I make the line there with a ruler.
Right there.
What am I doing? We're going to print the newspaper, the shock absorber. See? Yeah, now here's how it works. You take the little letters from the Tinker Toy set there. See? Here. O. O. M. M. You know spelling out? You give up? Commercial. C-O-M-M-E. R. Oh, it's the deadbeat. Deadbeat's here. Hey, I put the glasses on. I knew you were coming. Oh, I did. Oh, that's pretty funny, huh? Oh.
So that's a little bit of shock.
You know, he mentioned funny, the Deadbeats.
Actually. Yeah.
That was the in-house band.
That was his band.
That was the
But, I mean, he was kind of the grandfather to Sven. And,
yeah.
And I know that the set pieces of Shock Theater were used in the first episodes of Svengoolie.
The original
on Channel
Svengoolie.
32.
Right, okay.
But they had pieces left. I mean, believe it or not, I mean, these TV stations throughout everything.
Them.
No, they're gone. Long
Gosh.
Gone.
Well, they threw them out once they got all the use out of them that they could.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
That's wild.
WSNS had something called Thrillerama in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. Creature Features was the big one. It was a horror showcase from 1970 to 1976 on WGN TV. I think it went a little further than 76. Known for its main title vignettes of Universal Studio classic Monsters. It was the haunting music of Henry Mancini's Experiment in Terror. That's the name of the song.
Mm-hmm.
That and the frightening image of Lon Chaney Sr. From the long-lost silent film London at Midnight.
Mm.
So that's that creature that you see. That
with
we'll
the
post.
Top hat. He's got that really high kind of top hat.
And the dark, sinister voice of a WGN TV announcer like Marty McNeely.
And it was so weird because you watch Marty McNeely doing the news. Midnight news
right.
on WGN right
Night
before
beat.
They do the sign-off.
Yeah.
And then you hear his voice. As an of course, back then, all the news people did other characters. The other characters did sports and weather. And
yeah.
I mean, everybody got used in a lot of ways.
That's right.
At WGN TV. You weren't like pigeonholed into one thing.
That is called the Chicago School of Television.
There you go.
Here's a little bit of Creature Features, I think, with the
Marty McNeely
the famous
thing?
Poem. Yeah, let's take
okay.
a listen.
And now, dim the lights. Bolt the doors, but don't be frightened. That will come later here on Creature Features. Tonight, a mad doctor's diabolical torture machine means deadly horror for a beautiful girl. Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi horrify you in The Raven. Right after these messages.
So as gruesome ghouls and grisly ghosts, wretched souls and cursed hosts, vampires bite and villains creep, demons scream and shadows sleep, blood runs cold in every man, fog rolls in and coffins slam, mortals quake and full moon rise, creatures haunt.
And terrorize.
Yeah, there you go. As a Creature Features. Exactly. There was also Monster Rally on TV 44. Let's take a little listen.
We've summoned you here for a monster revival. Thrilled you could join this gathering of ghouls.
It's a monster rally.
Make Friday night a night to remember. Watch the Monster Rally movie featuring your favorite creatures and ghouls each Friday evening at 10 on 44.
Each, you know, I mean, think about how many local stations, not only in Chicago, but across the country, had their own little horror show.
Yeah.
But that's, again, how I got introduced to Frankenstein and so many others. I mean, I did this too, Frankenstein and Dracula and the Wolfman and the Revenge of the Creature. And
one of the big things behind that, other than the fact that it was kind of cool that they could do this on a local level and kind of the kids would love watching it and everything, it was entertaining. Not only that, but it filled time that they would have to scramble to find something to fill. And the movies were at that stage where they were in the public domain. So now you can...
Some of them.
A lot of them that they picked to air on these. Because, you know, why pay for in a show that wasn't going to get much advertising?
Night of the Living Dead.
Right. So these were in the public domain, and they could then air them numerous times in a year.
But just the concept alone of watching something scary and then throughout the show insert some comedy to give you some relief. Because I remember watching Svengoolie on Fridays and Saturday nights when I was a kid. And
were you scared?
Well, there would be some pretty deep, some pretty frightful movies.
Right.
And you'd, you know, and I'd be sitting in my basement. It was cold. It was dark. And then all of a sudden, the movie would pause. Yeah, Berwyn, exactly. The movie would pause, and then there was just some comic relief. And I think that's what people appreciated, because you knew it was going to come. You knew you might be scared out of your wits, but you're going to be laughing soon. And I think that's what the comfort zone was with all this. Channel 32 had their own version of Creature Features later. And then they also had something called The Monstrous Movie. Let's take a listen.
It's time for the monstrous movie on Channel 32. Stay with us for our feature, if you can. If you
can. Wasn't that a little voice box that you used to buy in the 70s?
Well, but back then you had cassettes that they would sell in the stores, like Walgreens, you could buy at Halloween time that had the scary sounds on it.
Yeah.
So that was, at least that's the one I had, that had all the scary sounds. Not yet, they had the voice boxes where you could have
the
shrieking thing. But I'm thinking that's a little early for that kind of technology. In the early 70s.
This is late 70s.
Oh, right.
Early 80s. So it might have been just crossing that. And, of course, there was Screaming Yellow Theater. And that's what the original Svengoolie, Jerry G. Bishop, introduced the character from 70 to 73. And then it was 6 years later that Rich Coase, who was working for Jerry, said he wanted to revive Svengoolie. And he said, well, you can revive him, but you got to be the son of. And 40 years ago, he revived the character on Channel 32, and I think here's one of the original original opening from the first show.
The following prescribed is transcribed.
Good evening. I'm Jerry G. Bishop, and this is the famed split-level dungeon studio where, many years ago, the legendary Svengoolie burst into television prominence. Even today, many fondly remember Svengoolie providing the same classic entertainment as such time-honored shows as Hello Larry, My Mother the Car, or Celebrity Pin Spotting. But then, one day, at his peak, Svengoolie simply dropped from sight. The rumors were many. That he'd dyed his hair and changed his name to Phil Donahue. That he'd gone on to a rewarding career in motel management. No one knew for sure. And yet, one rumor still is whispered among an uneasy populace. What if there were the same situation as in the past with the son of Frankenstein? The son of Dracula? Sanford and Son? Could there exist somewhere, somehow, the son of Svengoolie?
Hey, Dad, can I borrow the keys to the hearse tonight? Yeah! thank you. Ah, good evening. I am the son of Sven Gulli.
Well, I didn't think you were Rula Lenska.
Well, it's an honest mistake. We've got a movie for you tonight that makes Dawn of the Dead look like Godzilla meets the Brady Bunch. Right, guys? Huh?
No.
Well,
sorry.
Well, it's an honest mistake, too. It's called In the Year 2889 and stars Paul Peterson, who used to play the son on the old Don Reed show, huh? Also, it stars such people as Quinn O'Hara, Charla Doherty, and, who else is in this movie?
Rodney Allen Rippey.
And the...
Hilarious.
Well, it's the audio bite. So I was actually on set this week. We're going to actually do a commercial.
Oh, wonderful.
We're going to do a little commercial for social media where the coffin door opens and I'm in the coffin.
Yes.
And then Rich comes up. Sven Gulli comes up.
Sven Gulli comes up.
And we talk about his big event next week. So next Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Rich is being honored at the Broadcast Museum. We about 200 people capacity for this event, mm-hmm. and you can meet him, get his autograph, all that good stuff. And again, it's to celebrate his 40th anniversary.
Can you believe that? 40 years.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Then he started it. So you can get tickets there at museum.tv. But I mean, just a legendary guy and just a sweetheart as well.
And he's kept the tradition of all those early shows that you discussed.
Yeah.
He's kept that going, and now it's national. There may be some of these shows in some smaller towns, some smaller TV stations, but for the most part, he's taken over the nation now.
Oh, yeah. He has big national fans. And
now he's in the DC universe.
Yeah, we're going to talk to him about that.
Excellent.
Yeah. He's actually in these comic books. With Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. it's really, really cool. After just doing Mad Magazine, he's now doing that as well. And he's got a lot of appearances around Chicago left for the rest of the month as well. But coming to the Broadcast Museum, we're thrilled that he's doing that as well. We'll talk a little bit about that and what's coming up on the show right after this on 720 WGN.